96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we continue our coverage of Election 2014 so that you can hear from all of the candidates running for D.C. mayor. Joining me in studio are Faith, the statehood Green Party candidate for mayor, and Bruce Majors. He is a libertarian running for the city's top office. Also joining me in studio, WHUR News reporter Bramante Bryant, Washington Times columnist Deborah Simmons, and Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy. Lines are open. We will try to take some phone calls tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. To the candidates, I say welcome and thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, let me, and of course, the reporters as well, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. Okay, first and foremost, and I'll start with Faith. As you know, Faith, you've run for office.
Like the ever-ready battery.
Yes,
I keep
ma'am.
Running and running and running.
Yes, ma'am. So you are no stranger to this process. But answer this question first, and then, of course, Mr. Majors. If we know that we have three candidates currently that have held either ward-wide offices or city-wide offices, and they seem to be at the top of the food chain, why, Faith, do you keep running?
Well, I'm very concerned about D.C.'s statehood circumstance. I believe I've been a statehood activist for so many years, and we were on third-class citizens here. We have no representation in Congress, and we're used like a country club for the federal government, and I want to stop that. And I've been concerned about it for years, so I keep trying and trying. And one advantage, when you run for mayor, you can speak to the people. You know, my husband says I'm a Broadway performer, and I've been in a few movies, and he said I'm looking for an audience, and that's why I'm running. And he might be true. It might be true. But I have been trying to inspire the people, the citizens of D.C. to unify and to make a state out of D.C., an intercultural state. We have so many marvelous races and cultures in the city. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Williams one time had some summits, and he got us all together, and we became independent little cultural groups, and we gave our opinions through electronic means, pressing buttons at summits, mm-hmm. how to improve the government. So all that is in some file someplace, the results.
Well, let me stop you there because I want to make sure that Mr. Majors also has an opportunity to answer that same question. Mr. Majors, please.
I'm going to give a very different answer. And I haven't run for mayor before. I've run for one other office once, which is how the Libertarians got permanent ballot status. I'm running because D.C. has a problem in that it's a one-party state. I think the rest of the country has a problem in that it's only a two-party. They only have two parties, which sometimes are not different enough. But D.C. has a problem in that there's only one party, which I think is one reason we've been plagued with corruption problems, because everybody's sort of in the same club, and they're not as likely to do opposition research and be critical of each other. So I'd like for D.C. to have more active, more developed parties. I think it's going to have to come from Libertarians and Greens. I don't think the Republican Party is a successful, marketable brand in D.C. I think there are too many people who just aren't interested in it. Whether they can change that or not, I don't know, but that's their problem, not mine. Secondly, I would sort of disagree with part of your question. I don't think there are three candidates at the top of the food chain. I think there are three candidates, two of whom may actually be dropping in the polls slightly right now, and I think the election's kind of already decided.
Well, the three candidates, I don't know.
Well, hold on.
And I think the election's already kind of decided, and because of that, I think only voting for either Libertarians or Greens is not wasting your vote, because if you vote for Muriel Bowser, you're not doing anything because she's already going to be elected. So your vote doesn't really have an effect.
And what if you makes vote you for, think she's
hold on, hold on, hold on.
For David, go ahead, Mr. If you vote for David Catania or Carol Schwartz, you're also throwing away your vote because they're not going to be elected, and they're not building any kind of party. There's not going to be anything left from their campaigns once they're over.
Well, suffice it to say that I don't think that anyone is throwing away their vote if they decide to step up and vote, no matter who
if
they're voting for.
Who they like.
Yeah,
yes.
So, Deborah.
Yeah. My question is kind of, I'm spinning off of my column tomorrow where I write about affordable housing, that it means different things to different people. Explain to the listeners, Bruce, how you plan to change affordable housing in the district.
It's a slightly complicated answer. I agree with some of the things that the other candidates have said. I agree with, for instance, with Ms. Bowser that D.C. owns all these pieces of property, and it should, not just if, but it should release them to the private sector. But when it does, it could specify that we would like for some of these to be used for more affordable housing. But I think D.C.'s real problem with affordable housing is forces that are almost beyond the D.C. city government's control, or at least given anything it's been doing so far, which is we have more and more people moving into D.C. Everybody knows this. The people who are moving in have a lot of money. They're going to bid up prices. And so what you have to do is have more supply. And you can only have more supply if you get rid of a lot of regulations and zoning that restrict housing. And one big one is the height limit, because what we have right now is all the people who are developers have to buy up five or six little small multi-unit buildings that rent fairly modestly at more modest rents. They tear them down to build five 10-story lofts. If they could just build a 50-story fancy apartment somewhere, they would not have to tear so many of those down.
Gotcha.
Does someone have a question for Faith?
Oh, okay. No, I'd like to answer that question.
Well, you can if you want, but then after that, your question, Bramante, quickly, Faith.
I believe in the government should make a controlled rent rollback, and rent control is out of control. The prices of renting is much, much too high for anybody, even for those who can afford it. So we have to get rent control in control and have rent rollbacks for everybody.
Bramante.
Faith, one question I had for you is that you are looking to make the Advisory Neighborhood Commission really the sort of the centerpiece of government in the district. How do you suppose that will work if you put most of the centralized power in the hands of the ANC?
I wouldn't say I'd like to make them a central piece, but the ANCs are voicing the people's needs. They are the government. They are the people. Advisory neighborhood commissions. A lot of people don't know what an ANC is. A lot of people that are listening here don't know that they have an ANC. Please look into it. There's where your strength is. You can bring your problems to the ANC, and they'll do something about it.
Need to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Fauntroy, you will have the next question. We are talking to the last two candidates running for the highest office in the District of Columbia, running for mayor. Of course, don't forget, Election Day is about a week or so away, November 4th. So please get out there and vote. Early voting is on right now. We will take more. We will take your phone calls in just a bit. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Of course, we continue our coverage of Election 2014. In studio, we have Faith, the statehood Green Party candidate for D.C. mayor, and Bruce Majors. He is a libertarian running for the city's top office. Also joining me, WHUR News reporter Bramante Bryant, Washington Times columnist Deborah Simmons, and Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy. Lines are open if you have any questions at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Dr. Fauntroy, please.
Thank you. Mr. Majors, in your opening statement, you talked about the lack of competition in the city, and that's very well documented. And in most cities around the country, there's not a lot of competition. And you also mentioned that, you know, you pretty much conceded that Mrs. Bowser is likely to win. So in that regard, how do you measure success in your campaign?
Two different ways. Sorry. One, we do have to get a minimum number of votes to maintain permanent ballot status. And two, we do want to continue to... My apologies.
No, that's quite all right. We'll get you some water, please. Yeah. Go ahead as best you can.
To grow our party so that we can run more candidates for more offices in the future. We are, in terms of registration, the smallest party, but also the fastest growing. So, so we're achieving some of what we want to.
Go ahead.
I just want to follow up quickly. You know, there is this idea that there's a libertarian strain that runs through much of the country that has not been fully tapped. And one of the big libertarians around the country right now is Rand Paul, who's building a reputation that some people suggest will lead him toward a 2016 presidential candidacy. But there are sort of two kinds of libertarianism. There's more of a conservative libertarianism and a liberal libertarianism, if I could. I understand the labels are problematic, but where do you fit in that spectrum?
I'll try to make all my libertarian friends happy by saying I'm an unhyphenated libertarian. It is true there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who who have been pulled by the Pauls into reconceptualizing themselves as libertarians, and I think they're trying to appeal to millennial voters by doing that. Mm. And I don't have anything against their project, and I would like to see people in the Democratic Party sort of like Democrats of the 60s and 70s when I was growing up, like Nicholas von Hoffman or William Proxmire or Eugene McCarthy, who had a certain libertarian bent. But that's really their project and not mine. And so I don't have a lot to say about it. There are polls that are done. Different groups have done them for about the past 10 years, where instead of using a two-dimensional spectrum where you say, well, are you more liberal, are you more conservative, or you're moderate, they instead try to have a two-dimensional spectrum where they come out with four categories of people: liberals, conservatives, populists, and libertarians. And when they do that and they ask people questions to sort them out into those groups, the country sort of sorts out into four groups that all have between like 15 and 29% of the vote. So there is this population of people out there who, when you ask them more complicated questions, give libertarian answers, and they really don't have... They haven't had a home for a while.
I'm going to have to stop you right there, Mr. Majors, because I do need to take yet another break. So if you are interested in participating in this conversation, give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll be back in just a few seconds.